And as you give that, I want to invite you to Resurrection Sunday service. Now I'm going to warn you, it's going to be crowded in here on Sunday. It's pretty full in here now, and it's Good Friday. I would imagine it's going to be quite crowded. Bring your friends and your family to Res Sunday, and you're going to have to scooch in close, okay? You're going to have to get familiar with your neighbor. We got rid of the middle aisle so we could put more seats in and give everybody a front row. You know, the front row, those are the best seats in the house. So we want you to come forward and scooch in real tight with one another. All right, so bring your friends and family out to Resurrection Sunday. You know, everybody will go to church, you know, once or twice a year. If you invite your friends and family to Resurrection Sunday service, they'll probably come. Especially if you guilt them a little bit, you know what I mean? You know, you got to do what you got to do. Guilt them a little bit, you know, be like, hey, you know, you never come, and, you know, I just want you to come with me, you know. Just guilt them a little bit, and they'll come to church with you. If you have your Bible, go with me tonight to Luke 23. Luke 23, I want to talk about those two criminals that were on the cross with Jesus. So I know the cross is up here tonight, but what I want you to focus on tonight is kind of turn your attention away from Jesus if you could. And if you could, just kind of focus on that cross there and this cross here for a minute. Maybe that cross over there. One of the criminals who were hanged next to Jesus, they blasphemed Jesus and they said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one answered and he rebuked him and he said, don't you fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he says to Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. One says, get me down. And the other one says, remember me. One is angry and full of bitterness, and the other one is full of reverence and fear and awe and trembling. And Jesus said to the one who was repentant, To the one who acknowledged his sin, these are the words of Jesus. He said, I assure you, today, I like that, today is the day of salvation, church. I want you to hear me. Today is the day of salvation. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, I want you to know you have to, you're a criminal. I didn't know if you know that, but you're a criminal. It was you and I hanging next to Jesus on the cross on that night. It was you and I, and it's not a matter of whether or not you're a criminal, because you are a malefactor. You are a thief. You are a sinner. It is you. It is me that is hanging. It was me, I'm telling you. It is me that is hanging there. Maybe it's not you, but I'll tell you for sure, it's me. I know it's me over there. I know it's me. The only question is, which side of the cross are you on? Because you're a criminal. But you got to choose which side. You're going to have to respond to the gospel. You see, there's only two responses to the gospel. Two. Contrary to what you might hear, there aren't but two responses to the gospel. One is unrepentance, and the other is repentance. Those are the only two options. There's no fence to ride. There's no middle ground to hide in. There's no gray area for you. And what you must know is your response to the gospel will determine your experience. How you respond to the gospel will determine your experience both now and forever. For all of eternity, how you respond. But you must decide which side of the cross are you on. I love this story. It's not a story. It's historical, what happened. But I love the depiction of how Luke tells here these two criminals that hang next to Jesus, because I believe that they represent the gospel perfectly. I mean, if you were just to look at the image there, and I know they don't have any men, but if you were to just, you know, Google this image and you'd see the two criminals next to Jesus, and Jesus there just put right in the center of those two thieves, and you'd read this story, what you could see perfectly is the gospel just perfectly illustrated for you. And it's so perfect in its illustration, because what it shows us is it shows us that there's one criminal who's full of anger and rage, and I can relate to that, can't you? Like I can understand. I'm not up here telling you that I'm not empathetic to the criminal that was on that side of the cross of Jesus. You know, Tupac said, that's just where I'm from, y'all. Tupac said, don't blame me, I was born in this world. I didn't make it. That's what Tupac said. What he was saying was like, I'm a criminal. Yeah, I'm a criminal, but I'm a criminal because I didn't choose to be a criminal. Life came to me and gave me this life. I didn't choose it. It chose me. I was born in it. Don't get mad at me. And I can sympathize with that, you know. I can empathize with that, you know. Things happen in this world and it puts you on that side of the cross and you have to choose in that moment, like, are you going to stay there? There's a gospel, you know, the gospel's on full display here because you have the choice, as I want you to know, you have the choice because there's Jesus just hanging there waiting for you to just repent and receive him. And this story is so accurate in its depiction because it points out that we all find ourselves on the side of the cross occasionally. No matter how, you know, good you are as a Christian, there'll be days where your life deals you something and you'll get mad. And you might shake your fist. And you might walk away and you might say, I'm done with that. And you might say, I don't need that, Jesus. You might say that, but Jesus is kind and he's loving and he's full of grace and he's full of mercy and he's just. So it's just a matter of my son one time. Remember, your response determines your experience. My son, I don't know what you were saying to Jeremiah, but his response was not the right response. It's not the right response. And I remember, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't know it, but she'll scare you. She gets this scary mom thing going, you know. I'm like, everybody, do clean something right now. You know what I mean? Like, pick something up, go act busy right now. You guys know what I'm talking about, you know. It's a terrifying thing when, but she just went into full mom rage, you know. And he realized quickly that his response to whatever it was, I think he wanted to go over somebody's friend's house, and we were like, we don't do that. And he was like, you're making me mad. Oh, I saw her eyebrow. I was like, oh, run, run! He went downstairs and he hid for a while. I was just over in the corner, just like, I want you to know it's not your sin that separates you from Jesus. It's not our sin that separates us. It's our response. It's our response to Jesus. It's not our sin. And I want to encourage you, you know, because everyone's going to find themselves over on this side of the cross occasionally when life does something to you. And you're going to get to a place where, you know, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, because why do you make me go through this? If you loved me, why would I have to go through it? If you love me, why are my children? If you love me, why is my marriage? If you love me, why is my health? If you love me, and you'll find yourself over here. But if you're not careful, you'll allow what you're going through to keep you there. You know, I heard this the other day, and it's so good. It's, you know what the enemy does? He'll isolate you. He'll isolate you. And he'll isolate you, and he'll make you hate what Jesus loves. So if you spend intimacy, and that's how you know you're spending time with Satan. You're spending time with the devil when you isolate. So that's when people tell me, I don't need to come to church. I'm like, the devil's your pastor. Yeah, because he isolates, and then when he isolates, he feeds you bitterness and offense, and he makes you hate what Jesus loves. But if you spend time with Jesus, look what Jesus does. If you spend time with Jesus, you know what Jesus makes you do? He makes you congregate. And he makes you fall in love with what he loves. And isn't it interesting that our congregation brings his manifestation? And so you can see that the work of the enemy is to isolate that thief on the cross on this side to make him feel like, you know, he's justified in his rage. But it's okay to, I want you to know that Jesus died for both sides of the cross. But what is clear is you can't have paradise as long as you're on this side of the cross. That's accurate. I mean, that is on full display there. Like, if you want paradise, you can't stay over here. You have to move through Jesus and find your way to this side of the cross. So your response to the gospel will always determine your experience, both today and forever. And I want you to know that your response reveals your heart. That's really what it reveals. You see, what was revealed in the response of the criminals was their heart. There was an angry heart. There was a hard heart. There was a prideful heart. And that heart could not see Jesus. And then on this side, there was a repentant heart. There was a reverent heart, a soft heart, a humble heart. And it recognized the grace of God extended to him. This criminal recognized that Jesus was there to make a way to paradise. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. It's just a matter of coming to Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you find yourself ever, and you will, you guys, stop it. You will. You will one day, you'll be over here and you'll be unrepentant and you'll be hard and you'll be callous and you'll be angry and you'll be bitter and you'll be offended. And then you'll say, well, if you're God, get me out of this then. Or if you're God, then heal. If you're God, then, and you'll make demands from over here. You will find yourself over there. But if you'll come to Jesus, you can experience heaven. You can experience Jesus. If you'll just come to Jesus. This criminal, he was repentant and he came to Jesus. And Romans 10, verses 9 to 10 says that if you confess with your mouth, you see, he's on the cross and he's dying, but he repents and he confesses Jesus. He says, the Lord Jesus. If you'll confess that Jesus is God, you say, how do I get out of this side? You just say, Jesus, you are Lord. Regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of how fair it seems to me, Jesus, you are Lord. That moves you into paradise. That slides you into paradise. Just by confessing, Jesus, you are God and I am not. I don't know what you know, but I'm going to trust you because I know that faith makes all things possible. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my trust in. So he confesses Jesus. Right there on the cross. It's not too late. He confesses Jesus. Acts 2:21 says, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, salvation's really not that hard. We make it real hard. We make it hard. But it's really not. It's just calling on Jesus. So I want you to know there will be days when you're here. And in those days, as hard as it might be, just call on Jesus. You know, if you're struggling, if life seems unfair to you, if you find yourself offended or mad or bitter, if you find yourself unforgiving, just call on Jesus. When you call on Jesus, he said, I can't resist it when they call. I can't resist. Whoever calls my name, whoever calls upon me, I can't resist your call. Isn't that something that your call to Jesus is irresistible to him? What an amazing Savior that all you have to do is call his name. I wish I was that good. Don't you wish you were that good that all they'd have to do is call your name? Some people call your name and you hide. Some people call you, you're like, I pretend like I didn't see that. They text you, you're like, I didn't see that one either. I didn't see that. But Jesus is so good that whoever, the criminal on this side or the criminal on that side, the criminal way back there or the criminal way over there, the criminal that you would think doesn't deserve it, if he calls, whoever would call, he said, I'll save him. So if you ever find yourself on this side of the cross, all you got to do is just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Jesus. Come on, just say it with me. Jesus. Jesus. Repentance, you know. Sin acknowledgement. The criminal on this side of the cross acknowledged his sin. Come on, I don't know what's going on back there, but look at me. It's all good. They'll figure it out, you know, get saved and everything. It's important that we understand something. Look at me. We live in a day where we make it okay. Instead of asking people to acknowledge their sin, we diagnose them as sick. But I want you to know the only way you can get from this side to this side is to acknowledge your sin. You say, why must I acknowledge my sin? Well, you must know that your sin and my sin is so egregious that God had to send his son to die upon the cross for that sin. You said, no, my sin wasn't that bad. No, it was that violent. It was that terrible. Your sin was that egregious to all of heaven that he had to send his only begotten son to die for it. Now, if you acknowledge your sin like that, That's repentance. One thief said, "Get me down." And the other one said, "Help me. I'm a criminal." One repented, one wouldn't repent. 1 John 1:8-9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As they pass out the communion elements tonight, in Mark 14, verse 24, Jesus said, "This is my blood that was shed for many." Your sin, something powerful happens when you acknowledge your sin. Something liberating happens. You steal the condemnation from the enemy when you say out loud, "It was my sin. It was me. I did it. I'm guilty. I'm condemned. I deserve to die." Once you say that, you steal the accusation from the enemy and you allow Jesus to liberate you. He had to shed his blood. Jeremiah, he goes down in the basement. And a couple hours later, I think, it was, he comes back up. He comes back up. Whole new attitude. Like nothing ever happened. You know what I mean? He walks back up. He's like, "Hey, guys, how's it going? You want to get some Taco Bell?" He's just like it never even happened. You know what he did? He repented. He changed. He responded. He saw that the experience was rejected. He saw that his experience rejected him. And so he went downstairs and he had a moment with Jesus and he repented and he came back upstairs and he says, "I changed my mind." And I want you to know today, no matter where you are in life, no matter what happens to you, you can change your mind. You can change. You can say, "I repent. I want to get to this side of the cross. I don't want to stay on that side of the cross. I want to get to this side of the cross where paradise is available and the joy of His presence is known for all of eternity." You can get to this side. It's not too late. It's never too late. This story depicts for us that Jesus, He makes a way. Jesus makes a way. He makes a way for you and me to move from what life did to us, to be free in the life that He paid for us to live. And I want to encourage you tonight, when you receive your communion elements, can you stand to your feet after you receive them? Just like Jeremiah, you can change too. So I want to encourage you to keep a soft heart. How do you keep a soft heart? How do you keep a soft heart? How do you keep yourself from getting bitter? How do you keep yourself from being defiled? I mean, we live in a world today that is full of defilement. I went out to the trailer one day last year. And I went to put air in the tire. And I noticed that when I went to put air in the tire, that the tire had all these cracks in it. And I took it to Lou, my mechanic, and I said, "Is that good? That don't look good." He said, "No, that's not good. That's dry rot." It's been exposed to the elements. It's all cracked and dry. And if you try to put any miles on that, it more than likely, Troy, it's gonna explode. And this happens to us, you know, like life weathers you. It gives you dry rot. It's such a descriptive word, right? Dry rot. And many of us get dry rot in our spirits. Not me. The only way to prevent dry rot is the presence of Jesus. It says that Jesus is the anointed one. He's the Messiah, the oily one. We take that armor all and we spray our tires with it. You know, back in the day, we would take that down and we rub it up real good. And they would shine, you know. You'd be wet, look wet. It's what you're supposed to look like. You're supposed to be so saturated with Jesus' presence that there's no possible way for life to weather you and crack you and damage you. Miles are going to come. You know, you're going to have to put the miles on it. And the only way you're going to be able to make it is if you're next to Jesus. So how do I get out of this side? Well, you got to go through Jesus. That's why this story is so beautiful, because Jesus just hangs there and says, just come to me. Just come to me. Just come to me. I know it's not fair. Just come to me. I know what your father did. I know what side of the track. I know, Troy. I know. It wasn't your fault. I know. But you can't let that make you angry and bitter. You got to come to me. You're getting dry rot, Troy. You got to come to me. And if we're honest, like we allow things to like rot inside of us. And we say, no, I'm justified. I'm allowed to be angry. And then we make a case for our anger. And then we try to go get other people and convince them that our case is valid. Yeah, we do. Yeah, don't look around. You probably came with some people you pled your case to. The hardest thing to do, right? The hardest thing to do when you're like, when you want to be mad, is not tell somebody why you're mad. Did you believe what they did to me? It's really hard. The only way you can not do it is you got to come to Jesus. You say, Jesus, it's not fair what's happened to me. I didn't deserve that. My dad died at 55. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve any of this. I should be mad. My husband left me. I should be mad. And you build a case. And then you join networks of people of where their husbands left them. And you start associating with people that have gone through the same thing you went through. So we're justified to be angry. And Jesus says, you're rotting. You gotta come to me. And he hangs, and he just hangs there, you know. Doesn't he just hang there? He just hangs there. Just there he is. Just waiting. Nothing keeping him there but him and you. His love for you, just keeping him there. Like, no nails, no soldiers, just his love for you and saying, come on, come on, come to me, he says. And I will give you rest. My yoke, my oil, soothe. It's the balm of Gilead. You come. Just come. You got to stay on the heaven side of the cross. The now and forever heaven side. Today is the day of salvation. You can't stay there anymore. What's really, really clear is this. As you hold that in your hand, is this. You can't have heaven. You can't have it. And I believe that's what this story is about. It's just there to tell us, you can't have peace on this side. You can't have joy on this side. You can't have abundance on this side. You can't have salvation and stay there. The only way to get to paradise is to come to Jesus, to repent, to acknowledge your sin, and to confess, Jesus, you are God, I am not. What they did to me, that's not God either. What I went through, that's not God. What my kids, they're not God. Jesus, you are God. This, Jesus says, this is my blood shed for all. So as you hold the bread tonight, just close your eyes right there and just hold the bread. Behold Jesus. Just behold him. This be a good time right now to forgive somebody. This be a good time to say, Jesus, I lay it down and I come to you. This would be a good time to say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I behold you and I come to you tonight. And I receive of your fullness of grace. Come on, break that bread and receive it together. Hold that cup in your hand, and as you hold it, you remind yourself in every power and principality of darkness that you are liberated, that his blood is so powerful over your life. I asked, look at me for a minute. They got this new thing out now. AI, you know. And you can get AI-generated images like that by just typing in some words. You know? I thought it was interesting that every time I typed in Jesus and the two criminals on the cross, it only generated one image of Jesus. And I thought, well, maybe AI ain't so dumb after all. Maybe it knows that there is only one criminal on the cross. That's Jesus. Because he died for me. And he shed his blood for me. So I'm no longer a criminal anymore. I'm washed new. I'm set free. I'm liberated. His righteousness, mine now. His blood cleanses me in my conscience. Goes where no counsel of man can go, no psychology can reach, no surgeon's knife can divide. His word to me is, you are my son. You are my daughter. You've been ransomed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the only begotten of the Father. As you receive it, just receive that liberty as you receive it. I want to close with a prayer that I read as soon as I woke up this morning. The prayer says, Jesus, I grieve that the torture and sorrow you endured on the cross were necessary to save humanity. Because you didn't want me enslaved to fear, anxiety, or sin, you sacrificed yourself so that love could win. It's love that hung upon that cross and gave up everything to rescue me. It is finished was the cry of victory, because you defeated everything that held me in captivity. Because of your sacrifice, I can experience intimacy with you forever. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to know you more and to reach people with the hope that's only found in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus tonight? As we conclude this service tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to pray a prayer that moves you from this side to this side. If you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, can you pray that with me tonight? Christians are praying all over the place tonight. You're watching online, you're praying. If that's you, you're here tonight, and you say, I've come through, but I was on this side, and I need to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent. I surrender my life to you fully. Take my life now. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. That simple prayer, calling upon the name of Jesus, moves you out of the category of condemned to die and now eternally saved in the arms of Jesus. Brings paradise right to your front door now and forever. God bless you, church. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Thank you.